For the first time in history, the United States and China sat down in Beijing to talk about keeping the most powerful AI models out of dangerous hands. And that might actually be the second most important thing that happened in AI this week. Welcome to AI Skim IQ Weekly Digest. I'm Alice, and joining me as always is Max. We are in week 20 of 2026, and honestly, if you only had 10 minutes this week to understand what's happening in AI, you picked the right 10 minutes. Max, where do you even start with a week like this?
I genuinely don't know. I kept opening new tabs and just staring at them. Geopolitics, a wild IPO, robots sorting packages for 3 straight days. It felt like 4 different news cycles crammed into one.
That's exactly right, and I think the thread connecting all of it is this. AI stopped being primarily a commercial story this week. It became unmistakably a geopolitical one. So let's start there.
The Beijing summit. Yeah, I saw the headlines, but I want to understand what actually happened, because AI safety talks can mean a lot of things, from a genuine framework to 2 countries having a polite lunch.
Fair skepticism. Here's what we know. US and Chinese delegations at the Beijing summit announced they would establish formal protocols, actual structured dialogue, for keeping the most powerful AI models away from dangerous actors. Treasury Secretary Bessent confirmed both sides are discussing guardrails and best practices. And the key word there is formal. This is the first structured bilateral AI safety conversation between the world's 2 leading AI powers. That is genuinely new.
But why now? Both countries have been sprinting on frontier model development, racing on chips. What changed?
Probably the recognition that an ungoverned AI arms race has losers on both sides. Experts have been arguing for years that pure competitive pressure pushes developers to cut safety corners. Neither government wants to be the one holding the bag when something goes badly wrong. Now, will this produce binding commitments? That is absolutely the follow-up question for the next several weeks. But even a framework conversation is more than we had a month ago.
And it was happening at the same time as the Musk-Altman trial in Oakland, which is, federal judges having to tell lawyers to stop talking about AI doomsday scenarios is not something I had on my bingo card.
Right, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers had to repeatedly redirect the courtroom away from existential risk testimony. But here's why that matters beyond the drama. AI safety is no longer an abstract research concern debated on forums. It is now live in federal courtrooms and in diplomatic summits simultaneously. That is a structural shift in how society is engaging with this technology.
Okay, let's talk chips, because Cerebras had one of the most eye-catching market debuts I've seen in a while. And this is happening while Nvidia itself hits $5.5 trillion in market cap, the first company ever to do that. So the market is somehow saying, we want Nvidia, and we also desperately want whatever can compete with Nvidia.
It's a bet on market segmentation.
And then there's the geopolitical layer. DeepSeek shifting to Huawei chips. That's not just a company switching suppliers.
No, that's a signal that US export controls have not stopped China's AI hardware ambitions. They have redirected them. DeepSeek moving to Huawei chips is evidence that China's semiconductor self-sufficiency drive is actually bearing fruit. SoftBank putting $450 million into UK chipmaker Graphcore, Nvidia announcing its Vera Rubin platform, the hardware layer of the AI stack is fracturing into multiple competing ecosystems, and that fragmentation is accelerating fast.
Let's get to the robots. Because I spent way too long watching the Figure AI livestream, and I'm not even embarrassed about it.
You and millions of others. Figure AI's F3 humanoid robots running on their Helix 02 AI system completed over 80 hours of nonstop autonomous warehouse work, sorted more than 88,000 packages, no human intervention. CEO Brett Adcock called it uncharted territory for physical AI, and honestly, that's not marketing spin. It really is.
The live stream format was interesting to me, though. Like, why broadcast a logistics stress test to the world? That's a weird choice, unless you're trying to make a very specific point.
It was completely deliberate. Lab demos have a credibility problem. Anyone can stage a controlled 30-second clip. Running live for 80-plus hours with millions of people watching is unfakeable. It turned an operational test into a cultural moment. People were watching it like a sports event. And that changes the public narrative around humanoid robotics from someday maybe to this is happening.
Though experts were quick to pump the brakes on that, the gap between a controlled logistics trial and actual commercial deployment is still pretty wide, right?
Very wide. Environmental variability, maintenance cycles, cost per unit, those are real obstacles that a live stream doesn't solve. But here's the broader context. Japan Airlines deployed humanoids at Haneda Airport this week. Mind Robotics, founded by Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe, raised $400 million to put AI robots into manufacturing, and Unitree is building a robot app store, which is essentially applying the operating system playbook to embodied AI. The whole sector is moving from can it walk to can it work reliably for days at a time. That is a different question, and Figure just answered it in the most public way possible.
All right, Microsoft. This felt like one of those weeks where every AI headline had a Microsoft logo somewhere nearby.
20 million paid enterprise seats for Microsoft 365 Copilot. That is the milestone that frames everything else. Agent mode, multi-step task automation drove a lot of that growth. But the story that caught my attention most was the internal cancellation of Claude code licenses.
Wait, so Microsoft was giving its own engineers access to Anthropic's Claude code and then just took it away?
They opened those licenses in December and revoked them this week, redirecting developers to GitHub Copilot CLI instead. And Microsoft is a major Anthropic investor, so this isn't a hostile move in the traditional sense, but it is a very clear statement about where Microsoft's loyalties lie when its own product can credibly compete. They also launched a standalone GitHub Copilot desktop app explicitly positioned against Claude Code and OpenAI's Codex. The pricing shifted to usage-based billing with AI credits. The intent is unmistakable.
So the strategy is, don't host a marketplace of competing AI tools. Own the full stack yourself.
That's the bet, from chip partnerships all the way to the end-user interface. And it showed up everywhere this week. Copilot Studio got new agent governance features. Edge retired its standalone Copilot mode in favor of AI embedded across the whole browser. Even Xbox Copilot got quietly axed amid a leadership reshuffle. Microsoft is consolidating, not diversifying.
Before we get to trends, we have to touch on the funding rounds, because the numbers this week were genuinely staggering.
Anduril, defense tech, closed a $5 billion Series H led by Thrive Capital and Andreessen Horowitz. That doubled its valuation to $61 billion in a single year. Isomorphic Labs, Alphabet's AI drug discovery spinout, raised $2.1 billion in a Series B, one of the largest rounds ever in computational biology. But the one that made me stop and reread the headline was Recursive.
$650 million Series A coming out of complete stealth. Who is Recursive, and how does a company nobody has heard of raise that kind of money?
Their stated mission is recursive self-improvement in AI, building systems that can meaningfully improve their own capabilities. And the fact that investors put $650 million into a previously unknown company chasing that idea tells you exactly where the frontier of ambition and capital is right now. It sits directly at the intersection of this week's AI safety debates and its most technically audacious bets. That tension is not accidental.
Which actually ties into a bigger pattern. What are you seeing across all of these stories when you zoom out?
The clearest through line is capability acceleration crashing into governance deficits. It's showing up in agent security vulnerabilities, enterprise deployments getting manipulated through what are called tool poisoning attacks, in the US-China safety talks, in the federal courtroom in Oakland, and in Salesforce survey data showing accountability is workers' top concern with AI agents. The capability is outrunning the structures we have to manage it.
And there's a platform consolidation story running underneath all of it. Microsoft's Copilot push, Unitree's robot app store, GitHub's desktop agent app. Everyone is racing to own the platform layer, not just supply components into someone else's ecosystem.
Exactly. And hardware independence is becoming structural, not just a geopolitical story with China's Huawei pivot, but a commercial one too, with hyperscalers building custom silicon and Cerebras proving the IPO market will reward credible alternatives. Next week, watch for whether the US-China framework produces any concrete follow-up commitments and whether Figure AI's warehouse trial translates into announced commercial contracts.
Those two data points will tell us a lot about whether this week's announcements have legs.
And keep an eye on Google I.O. The Gemini Omni video model leaked ahead of schedule this week, and those demos were genuinely impressive. The full reveal could be the next big generative media moment.
Great call. A lot in motion. That's the week. 194 stories, 10 topics, and somehow we still feel like we left things on the table. That's week 20 of 2026 for you. Thanks for spending your Sunday with us. That's your weekly digest. I'm Alice with Max. See you next Sunday. Want to support the show? There's a Buy Me a Coffee link on this episode's page on the website.